Welcome to episode 6, which is the final episode of season 5 of the Burgess Salmon Pensions Pod. I'm Chris Brown, a partner in Burgess Salmon's Pensions and Lifetime Savings team. And today we're going to be talking about ESG issues for pension schemes. And I'm delighted to be joined firstly by James Fisher from Willis Towers Watson. Good morning, James. How are you?
Good morning, Chris. I'm great. Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, pleasure. Really good to have you on with us. James, just before I introduce our second speaker, could you just tell our listeners a bit about who you are and what you do, please?
Yes. My role in relation to ESG is to do with the E, so that's environmental sustainability, including things like climate change. My background is that I've been a pensions actuary for 20 years, yeah. And for the last 4 of those, I've been on a team that thinks about how we, from the scheme actuary side, help pension schemes and trustees think about this stuff. And a big focus has been on education and awareness about climate change, sustainability. Mm. And one of the things we've been doing is running a WCW climate course for pension scheme trustees. And that includes looking at the key fundamentals of the topic, which are important to know about, but we think often get missed. They don't often get discussed around the pension scheme table. So that course is going well and it's getting really good feedback.
Oh, that sounds really interesting. And as we'll discuss today, there's a very large education piece for trustees and employers and advisors and all really about ESG. And as you say, we're going to be focusing today on the environment and sustainability aspects of that E in ESG. And I'm also delighted to be joined by our very own Kate Granville-Smith, who is a director in our pensions team. Kate, hi, great to have you with us. Do you want to say hello and who you are and what you do and some of the great things that you've led our team to do in the ESG space in pensions?
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me on. Well, I'm obviously a pensions lawyer, but I'm also our ESG lead, which means I have a particular responsibility for developing products and resources which help pension trustees understand their duties in this area. And in particular, we've developed the award-winning Burgess Salmon Pension Schemes ESG tool, which helps trustees navigate this area. So if any of our listeners want to access that, they can access that free via our website.
Yeah, thanks, Kate. And that is a fantastic tool that you and the team have created, and it has been recognised in the industry. So if anybody would like access to that, then do find it on our website. So, James, Kate, we'll kick off. Kate, I'll come to you first, I think, just to ask you what is ESG. But just before I do that, I suppose both just wanted to reflect that ESG is a large and complex area, isn't it? And I suppose because it's large, it's rather extensive in scope. You could see trustees, perhaps lay trustees, sitting around a table, the whole discussion around ESG being quite intimidating, perhaps. You know, there's lots to discuss. Mm. But it's becoming increasingly prominent as a theme for pension trustees. So let's start, thinking about why it matters for pension schemes. So, Kate, what is ESG?
Well, ESG stands for Environmental, Social and Governance, and is used as a framework to assess how an organisation manages risks and opportunities relating to environment, social and governance criteria. It is wider than just climate change, although that is an important component of ESG and the E element. And that is one of the elements that attracts most attention. The social element looks at how an organisation manages relationships with the wider community, and governance looks at organisations' leadership and shareholder rights. So as you say, it is a really wide-reaching definition, and this is why it does cause trustees some challenges, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Wide-reaching covers a whole range of different things that trustees need to be thinking about, in that social and governance limbs of it. But we're going to be focusing today on the E aspect of ESG and sustainability with that. So James, coming to you, sort of the climate crisis attracts a lot of attention, but why does ESG and sustainability, thinking about that E, why does it matter for pension schemes?
Well, put very simply, it means that big change is coming.
Yeah.
And if I can just unpack that using climate change as an example, we all know that the climate impacts are here and they're already bad. So we see it on the news all the time. You've got extreme weather events, you've got, you know, floods in Europe, wildfires we've recently seen in the States, bigger hurricanes, you know, more droughts in places like Africa. And the reason for that, we're putting more carbon pollution into the atmosphere. That's causing the planet to overheat and the climate to destabilize. But I wonder if we're all falling into the trap of thinking that this is it. This is as bad as it gets. And I don't know if you've both heard the phrase, the new normal.
Yes, you see it in the press a lot, don't you? Sort of, you know, climate crisis, we need to get used to environmental impacts. And this is the new normal. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. But I think this phrase is a bit dangerous because it reinforces the idea that this is it. We've moved from A to B. We're now in a new stable state. Whereas if you stop to think about it, that doesn't make any sense. Because if we keep putting more and more carbon pollution into the atmosphere, it will heat even further and the impacts will get worse. And scientists are worried it could become unmanageable. So if you want a key takeaway, don't use the phrase the new normal. Replace it with the phrase the end of normal, moving into an era of more volatility, less certainty. So we can't assume that things will be the same as the past. And that's not a comfortable thought for anyone, but it's useful to be aware of it.
I think it's a really interesting point because, you know, the climate crisis is a developing risk. Things are continuing to change, as you say.
Yeah.
So when trustees sit around a trustee meeting table and think, okay, we need to think about ESG, we need to think about the E in ESG. Is this a new risk we are dealing with? Well, actually, it's a developing risk, isn't it? The risk is changing. The risk is, you know, potentially getting more volatile and less certain. So,
And that
I think
might
that's a really good point.
Do risk management.
Exactly.
And those things I talked about before are called in the jargon, the physical risks, you know, the climate impacts that we're seeing. There's another aspect, which is that if we as a species decide we want to avoid the worst of those physical impacts and change course, we could transition to a low carbon economy. But everything we do generates emissions. So that transition would involve us moving to a kind of changing everything we do as a society over the coming decades. So that would bring a different kind of change, but it's change nonetheless. We call that transition risk. So the takeaway here is that whether we leave things as they are and things continue on the physical risk side, or we make a big change as a society, change is coming either way. And that brings risks and opportunities. And if we bring it back to the question of why does it matter specifically for pension schemes?
Yes.
The three areas I'd highlight. Firstly, investments. This is going to change your risk and return profile for investments. So it might impact what you invest in.
Mm-hmm.
It might also impact how you invest. So for example, does stewardship get a bigger focus than it has done in the past?
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, I think about your funding strategy. So is it resilient to shocks? Is it going to affect things like inflation in the future? How long your members live? So we need to be thinking
longevity,
about those when we make predictions about the future. And finally, your sponsoring employer. You know, how is climate change and a potential transition going to affect your sponsor and the sponsor covenant?
Yeah.
And Kate, I don't know if you want to come in on the legal aspects.
Yes, thanks, James. So as well as the reasons that you've outlined, what we concentrate on as lawyers is other legal obligations on pension trustees. And there are obligations on trustees to make sure that they understand climate, ESG and wider sustainability issues. The pensions regulator has said that ignoring ESG is no longer an option for trustees. And there are various legal obligations which apply to trustees in relation to statements of investment principles, implementation statements. There are various obligations under the General Code and also reporting obligations under the Pension Schemes Act 2021 for schemes with assets of over £1 billion. And there's real regulatory emphasis on trustees improving the quality of their policies and disclosures and moving away from boilerplate wording and ensuring that action follows intent. The regulator observed that for too long, too few trustees focused on climate, ESG and wider sustainability issues in any significant detail. But trustees can no longer ignore what the regulator calls the elephant in the room. So I think we're really moving away from ESG disclosures being seen as a tick box exercise and rather that decisions, reports rather, should be decision useful and drive action. And I think another important thing to remember is, although that the trustees will have advisors to support them, they do retain overall responsibility for their disclosures and understanding it themselves.
Yeah, I think they're really good points. So it's clear that there are good reasons sort of in practice, in reality, just thinking about the world we live in, why trustees want to think about environmental factors, ESG, also good reasons under industry guidance, under regulation and under law for trustees to be really engaging in this area, I suppose. Kate, I suppose one thought is how do the trustees' duties around thinking about ESG factors, how does that match up with their fiduciary duties? So I suppose say trustees are thinking about an investment decision, to what extent does complying with or making the right choice from an ESG perspective, whatever that might be, is that consistent with applying a trustee's fiduciary duties? So, Kate, can you start by telling us what a trustee's fiduciary duties actually are?
Yeah, well, the first challenge, Chris, is that defining fiduciary duties is actually quite difficult. They're quite difficult to distill. They've evolved from case law over the years, so they can be defined differently depending on what source you go to. Yeah. And if we go back to basics, a fiduciary duty arises as soon as a person is entrusted to manage another person's property and to make discretionary decisions on that other person's behalf. So such decisions can include investment decisions, and that's the case for pension scheme trustees. Mm. In a pension scheme's context, a key aspect of being a fiduciary are said to be a duty to be loyal to members, that is to act in their interest, to avoid conflicts of interest and not to profit without authority. Now, an analysis of the case law is beyond the scope of this podcast. I think it would take a long time. But in summary, we do have a couple of important industry papers that do help us. The first is the Law Commission's 2014 report on the fiduciary duties of investment intermediaries, which concludes that in pensions, the purpose of the investment power is usually to provide a pension. Therefore, the primary aim of the investment strategy is to secure the best realistic return over the long term, but given the need to control for risks. So the report draws a distinction between financial and non-financial factors that can be taken into account by trustees. And financial factors are any factors which are relevant to a trustee's primary investment duty of balancing returns against risks. And these can include ESG factors.
So what you've got then is useful guidance there that is telling trustees that risks matter as much as returns in investment decisions. Okay, and has there been more recent guidance too, Kate?
Well, yes, it's actually a year on now since we had the report by the Financial Markets Law Committee. And this report has been widely praised in the industry as being a helpful explanation of the position when it comes to pension trustees' fiduciary duties. And what the report does is recognise that financial factors can be very broad and that many ESG factors will, when they're properly understood, be financial and indeed can be systemic risks, such as climate risks. With regards to systemic risks, it's unlikely that diversification of a portfolio will be enough on its own to avoid all the risks in the way that it would mitigate against non-systemic risks. And furthermore, financial factors need to be considered at a number of levels. So at the level of a specific asset or investment, at portfolio level, and at the level of whole economies material to the pension fund. Given the global context of most schemes' investment portfolios, issues of sustainability, governance and climate change will undoubtedly have financial implications for beneficiary. So in other words, properly construed ESG factors are often financial factors and as such may need to be considered by trustees as a matter of course. Now, I'd really encourage our listeners to read the whole report, which is very accessible for full details, as this is really very much a summary of some of the points.
Yeah, thanks, Kate. That's really super helpful. James, wonder if we could put a similar question to you, please. So how are you seeing that trustees are making decisions in light of their fiduciary duties?
Yeah, a really good first step, knowledge and awareness. So, for example, do you know enough to be able to challenge your advisors on these issues? So we recommend doing some training on this. So I know it's hard to fit in due to time constraints, but even if you can find an hour, you know, a good consultant should be able to explain the fundamentals. If you are doing training on it, make sure they cover things like carbon budgets and tipping points, because they're central to this, but you very rarely hear about them. The media does not cover them well. So if you don't know about things like tipping points, you may underestimate the problem. Step two is action. What actions are right for your scheme? And a useful tip here is to distinguish between the risk to you and your scheme on the one hand, and on the other, the impact your scheme has on the world. So if we take those two in turn, risk is the effect that ESG and things like climate have on your scheme. So for example, if you own a factory somewhere and there's a wildfire, it burns down, your asset goes to zero.
Mm-hmm.
So pension schemes are used to weighing up risk and return, right? When making investment decisions. So there's no barrier there, but it is just a good prompt to remember the message that you were saying a minute ago, Kate, that risks matter as well as returns. It's not just about maximizing returns. So all schemes should be thinking about the risk here. The other aspect is the impact your scheme can have on the world. So you hear about the question of, can you invest in a way that aims to improve environmental and social issues? And then it becomes more interesting. That brings the fiduciary duty question into much sharper focus.
Yeah.
So a good place to start here is for each trustee board, agree what your mission is. What are you aiming for? So are you just focused on paying the benefits as they fall due, you know, which is obviously central to running a pension scheme? But does your scope go beyond that? And would you consider wider considerations, such as how long your members live and the quality of the world that they live in? So they're interesting conversations to have around the table. And the answers we're finding are unique to each scheme, because you've got different people in the room, different scheme rules, different scheme circumstances.
And this is this, I think Kate said earlier, rightly, that we haven't got enough time on this podcast to do a summary of all the case law around trustees' duties.
Yeah.
But if I just jump in with one, this makes me think that the sorts of things that you're suggesting there that trustees think about are sort of almost a moral obligation to think about what's morally right for beneficiaries of a scheme. And it reminds me of that case from the 1880s, Ree Whiteley. So we're talking about ESG environment in the context of investment. Of course, it's much wider than that. But in terms of investment duties, Ree Whiteley, an old case, says that trustees should exercise their investment powers prudently, not as prudently as an ordinary you know person of business would invest, you know, sort of an ordinarily prudent person of business, how prudent they would invest, but more prudent than that, as if they were morally bound to provide for beneficiaries. And I just mentioned that because I think the wider considerations you're mentioning there, you know, they make me think of that moral duty that trustees have.
Yeah. And it's an interesting question. Like, are you, you know, do you have that moral duty within scope? And investing for impact doesn't have to only be, there might be a number of reasons why trustees can invest for impact, because this thing, how the whole system copes and where it goes affects, you know, beta in terms of returns, and there's a systemic risk here. So yeah, it's, you know, potential moral duty, potentially from a risk and return angle, and this concept of universal owners. So I think just for each trustee board, just have these conversations about what you're aiming for and why. Make sure the legal advisors are in the room and that you're making decisions in the right way, you know, proper purpose of the trust.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you can have these conversations and work out what you're aiming for, it then will guide you as to what actions are right for your scheme. And obviously, Chris, in practice, some decisions might be expected to improve risk and return and have a positive impact on the world. So that's a win-win.
Yeah.
That's an easy one. Mm. Where it gets more fun is where there's potentially a trade-off. But like I said, even then, it's not black and white. You know, you've got to think about the scheme.
Scheme circumstances come into it, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. So, for example, funding levels have improved recently. So some very well-funded schemes may feel they've got more license.
More latitude.
For impact. There's a really good meeting with a client last week, and they talked about kind of concentric circles of, firstly, we want to pay benefits as they fall due. And then we would like to kind of improve member outcomes, like how long people live, and then the quality of the world they live in. So, yeah, it's not black and white. But we know that some schemes are investing for impact, and they've gone on record as saying that. So fiduciary duty isn't a barrier here necessarily. You just need to make sure you're making decisions in the right way.
Yeah. And I agree with you that you can have this win-win situation as well. And the paper, the FMLC paper, did touch on this too. I said that financial factors may at the same time be factors that go to a beneficiary's quality of life. So I would agree with you on that. And also the point you made that it is all going to be very scheme specific as well. And there's not just a one answer, and that schemes have to look at their particular circumstances and take advice and keep that audit trail that you mentioned as well, James.
Yeah, no, you're right, Kate. This is unique to each scheme. And the final point I'd make on this is that, as well as the FMLC paper last February 2024, there was the Work and Pensions Committee hearings where they take evidence on this, and is a change to the law needed? So we are expecting and hoping for more guidance from DWP and or the regulator to help pension scheme trustees in this space. So yeah, more to come on that, and watch this space.
Yeah, so lots for trustees to be thinking about now, but there's more to come. Both, Kate, I'll come to you first, if that's okay. What are final thoughts from you both, and thinking about, you know, what do trustees need to be thinking about here?
Well, I would agree with what James has said, and that trustees need to make sure that they're conversant with their requirements in this area.
Get some, that education some piece.
That education piece is really important. Yeah. Don't be intimidated by ESG, get the training that you need. We can provide a general code checklist, which summarises the requirements of the general code in this area. And of course, our tool could help as well. Mm. Again, just going back to the fact that ESG shouldn't be a tick box exercise, but ensure that trustees are producing quality disclosures, which become embedded in their scheme governments. An area to watch could be greenwashing. This is something that isn't just affecting pension schemes, but organisations. Corporates generally. So trustees need to consider how accurate is the information that they are receiving and the information that they are publishing as well.
Just to pick up on the greenwashing point,
hear
a lot about climate and sustainability, and there's a lot of adverts and things like that. Just remember, the way to solve this problem is to bring down emissions, but every year global emissions are going up. So while that continues to happen, this problem isn't being solved. So just remember, if global emissions are going up, this isn't being solved. So there's a disconnect there somewhere.
Yeah, thanks, James. Real sobering point there. James, it's been a pleasure to have you on with us. I think we'll finish the podcast with you, please. Could you give our listeners three key takeaways when thinking about the E in ESG?
Yeah, thanks so much, Chris. Three key takeaways. Number one. Understand the fundamentals of ESG topics like climate change. Often the devil is in the detail here. Number two, distinguish between risk to your scheme on the one hand and impact your scheme has on the world, and decide what you're aiming for. What is your mission? And then finally, on the fiduciary duty point, I'd echo Kate's points. The FMLC paper is really good. So print and read a copy of that. There's lots of good nuanced points in there. And it's only around 10 pages, so it is an accessible reference point. You know, you can read it on the train on the way to the trustee meeting. So, they're my three takeaways. That's all from me.
Thanks, James and Kate. That's really helpful. I think we've only really scratched the surface, haven't we, of a discussion that we could be having just on the E of ESG, let alone the whole area. But I think that's really helpful and nice to finish there, James, on a on a practical step that trustees can do in the short term, print the 10-page paper and read it on the train. So thanks ever so much to the both of you for coming on. Well, that's the end of season 5 of the Burgess Salmon Pensions Pod. Been delighted to have completed our 5th season. So thank you to everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about our pensions and lifetime savings team and how our experts can work with you, then you can contact myself, Chris Brown, or any of our team via our website. And as we say every week, all of our previous episodes are available on Apple, Spotify, our website, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe, and thanks for listening.